Okay, it's 10:50 on June 5th, and the open meeting session of the State Board of Dispensing Opticians is back in session. We're going to move on to possible violation, Clear Vision Express, no licensed optician, Oro Valley. And I think I would like to refer to a couple of items that I have that has been provided from the state. I've got a copy of an email from Dr. Whalen, the Board of Optometry, and her interpretation is that Shay Lester believes that 1691 makes them exempt from establishment license. However, the supervising optometrists are not owners of the business, but employees, and the physician who owns the established does not work at or directly supervise the employees as he resides in Texas. Her interpretation from the State Board of Optometry is there, since the optometrists are not owners and the owner physician does not live in state or directly supervise the dispensing of eyewear, this business would not be exempt from the Arizona State Board of Dispensing Opticians statutes and rules. And based off of her interpretation, which is the same as I interpreted when I was reading through them, this establishment is covered under the definition of an optical establishment, and that makes it a physical location. And again, it's the physical location in which lenses, whatever, are dispensed to the intended wear on written prescription by a physician licensed or an optometrist licensed, which that is true. So this does qualify as an optical establishment based on definition. And based on the rules for exempt, any physician or optometrist who is licensed to practice under the laws of this state. No, they're exempt because we don't do physicians or optometrists.
Mr. Chairman, may I make a comment?
Yeah.
If you look at statute 321691, it's an exemption of persons and sales, not of establishments, so it would not pertain in this matter.
Correct. That's what I was looking for at the top. I forgot to read it. So I will entertain a motion if we could. Based off of that.
Time for me to ask a question.
When we go to, after we have a motion, there would be.
Okay, I would like to make, this is Suzanne Coleman, I'd like to make a motion that this organization, Clear Vision, what is
it? Vision Express.
Express is not exempt under the Arizona State Board of Dispensing Opticians statutes and rules in regards to their employees not being licensed.
And if I may, just to interrupt for a moment, if I can clarify, would this motion be for the matter to proceed for an adjudication to determine whether this falls under, or whether this constitutes a violation of our statutes?
I think we've already done that investigation. I'm saying we
right.
do think it does.
But would this motion then be for this to move to an adjudication, to move to a hearing to determine, is that what the motion is?
Yes.
That's the next step.
Okay.
We've done the other steps.
Certainly, I just wanted to clarify, so this is a motion for this to proceed then to a judicial hearing for determination of whether there's been a violation of board statutes?
Correct.
Eileen Pettit, and I second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Now it's time for our discussion. So if you would like to address the board, please.
Yes.
Please, as we try to tell everybody, speak into the mic because it doesn't.
I will indeed. Joel Wakefield from the Nelson Law Group representing Clear Vision Express. I guess my questions largely come down to something that you read that I'm not familiar with, that there was an email exchange apparently that And I'm wondering if we can get a copy of that, because that I'm not quite sure what the basis of the of that email exchange was.
The email was a response from Heather, Dr. Hickson's correspondence with Megan. So because it was from an optometrist, Megan shared it with the Arizona Board of Optometry.
Okay.
And that's where she went into what Ms. Lester said in her letter to the board, that they should be exempt. Mm-hmm. And we went to the Board of Optometry to verify the our rule definition. And she did verify that she believes they are would not be exempt from the rules.
Gotcha. That is inconsistent with another communication that we have had with the board. And so I'm just wondering if I can get a copy of that email.
Actually, Dr. Hickson sent me that email, so she can provide that for you. That email from optometry board was a correspondence between Dr. Hickson and Margaret Whelan, the executive director of optometry board. And then it
Correct.
Was sent to me.
Correct. And that email stated that we were exempt. I have that email.
Yeah, I think we read that email very differently, I guess, is the point.
Correct.
If what you're referring to, Director, is the email for to, okay.
It's the same email.
The email says there is no requirement to have a licensed optician if the establishment is owned by a medical professional, which it is.
If I may, however, as legal counsel for the board, I might point out that the opinion of an executive director of a different board doesn't actually have any bearing on the on this board's statutes or rules or interpretation or regulation of dispensing opticians. So even if the director of a different board feels that that somebody should be exempt from this board's regulation, they're not actually connected with this board. That has no more bearing on things than if a man in the street said that he felt that we didn't have regulatory authority over somebody.
Yeah.
I think it's just important, though, for the record, that the email be stated correctly, because initially it was stated incorrectly.
Well, certainly, absolutely. Again, as legal counsel for the board, I would recommend that all materials be correctly stated.
But irregardless of whether that her email, what she says to you, wouldn't determine our interpretation of the rules that we have that show that this establishment is not exempt because of the definitions that we have in our Arizona State Statute 321671. And they do not qualify as an exemption based on this. And therefore, we are finding and discussing, we have a motion, that they are in violation of our rules and statutes and would be required to have a full-time licensed dispensing optician in that establishment. Obviously, I understand, reading through all the correspondence from Clear Vision, that they did everything correctly when they opened, followed the rules, had their license, got their establishment license. They currently no longer have a dispensing optician. Well, we understand that. That means they need to hire one. A licensed optician, as long as they don't practice in Arizona. And that's kind of how we...
Does the board have a recommendation as to... Do you have referral services, by the way? Just out of curiosity. The organization has attempted to hire. So it is. This is not...
Tucson's
trying,
it's not usually as hard to find someone as some of the smaller cities, but the Arizona Association of Dispensing Opticians has a list of all the licensees in the state of Arizona, and that can be obtained easily.
Public knowledge.
Is there anything in our Suspends the Competition Board domain?
Association can help them.
The association is the best resource. It's Arizona Association of Dispensing Opticians. And they keep an active email list of licensees in the state. And that the director for that can get that to you quickly because she keeps it handy and she can get that. And they're actually in Tucson, just gotcha. By the by. Their office is in Tucson. Alvernon Way. So that's the way when people call Megan because they're looking for a license or they're going to open or whatever, she refers them to that. That gives them the avenue to be able to touch all the licenses currently in the state of Arizona. There are 940 or something. We got 13 more that just passed their test.
Yeah. Hopefully some of them are in Tucson because they have...
Tucson has quite a few. It's the second largest city, so I know they have a lot. And again, I think AADO is a good resource to use.
If I can clarify then what the next steps are, I think I just...
Council's got us here. Next steps? He wants to clarify our next steps to take this to a hearing.
Certainly. Well, from a legal standpoint, there are two different things for the board to look at. The one is moving forward, and clearly it seems as if they would like to move forward in conjunction with the board, it sounds as if, but the one would be moving forward, and the one would be the outstanding violations. So the board would need to determine how to dispose of the case. At present, the board has a number of options, which would include forwarding the case for a complaint notice of hearing, which would be a hearing before an administrative law judge. And then it would come back to the board to accept, modify, or reject the judge's decision in the case. And then that would be appealable through the normal processes. The other option would be for the board to reach a consent agreement in resolution of the matter. Something like that would be able to resolve both any outstanding violation, as well as perhaps have direction for the future, as in how to resolve the outstanding issue, and then within X number of months, Y will happen, or matters will proceed back again towards a hearing. So the board has a variety of options for disposing of the matter at this point.
Scott, in the past when we've had issues to deal with similar to this, we have done the consent agreement discussion with, in this case it would be with Clear Vision, and have come to agreement as to a reasonable time to rectify the situation and offer assistance that we can, such as getting you the Mary Todd's information at AADO. And that we include that as part of the consent agreement. So that would be... If we do pass this, that would be what I would say our next steps would be for you and Megan and Clear Vision to get together and have the discussion over what needs to be done. The violation is the violation. That's there, and we feel it is a violation according to the statutes that we are governed by. So if this does pass, then I would say our next steps in answer to your question would be to move forward to a discussion with Clear Vision and our Attorney General, Assistant Attorney General, and our Director, and get the verbiage down and the timelines down. Obviously giving you plenty of opportunity on your end to hopefully rectify the situation so we can all be in compliance and put the thing behind us and go forward.
Mr. Chair, were the board going to proceed along that route, the board would need to provide direction in terms of what resolution they would like to be reached with clear vision,
right.
Such that we have an idea of.
We have the basically our first time offense situation. We've run into this in the past. It's a $250 fine and rectify the situation, and that's kind of the route we have gone for in prior situations without licenses.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I may suggest, the board may want to consider the outstanding motion, and if the board is inclined to move towards a consent agreement, the board could certainly vote down the present motion that's on the table, and then there could be a motion for a consent agreement on certain terms that then the board could entertain. Or alternatively, the board could vote to proceed to a hearing, and the executive director and I could conduct negotiations. At that point, as the matter proceeds towards a hearing, it would depend on how the board would like to proceed.
I feel in our discussion that we're pretty much in agreement that it is a violation, and that's the motion that we currently have. Obviously, moving forward, one of the avenues we have is consent agreement avenue. But other avenue, if it's not an acceptable dialogue for both parties, obviously, then we would have to move to the next step. I don't understand why we would not want to pass this motion.
Well, that would be for the board to decide, Mr. Chair. So there is a motion and a second.
I think we should.
Motion in a second.
We already have a motion on the floor.
On table.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, since we are enjoying the company of representatives of Clear Vision, both on the phone and their counsel here, could I ask questions of them? One of the things I would like to know is whether or not they believe that they're required to have an establishment license and follow the rules of an establishment license as stipulated within the optician board statutes, or do they feel that their exemption eliminates that requirement of following the establishment licensing procedure?
We're all working with the same set of statutes, which are a little bit, let's just say, if I were drafting them, I might draft them slightly differently, but none of us get the opportunity to draft the statutes we have to work with. So,
right.
Given that.
I, by definition, the optical establishment is a physical location that contacts lenses.
Yes.
Lenses and frames. It's an optical establishment.
Yeah, and we have in our letter we have conceded that actually. The interesting part about the statute, I think, is that it says that everyone anyone that's serving as a dispensing optician must have a license. The individual people. It also says that the organization has, or that the establishment has to have a license.
Correct.
The exemption then exempts, of course, any physician or optometrist, as the chair noted, but it also exempts any person working in the establishment from a license if they have a physician, optometrist, or dispensing optician supervising them.
Directly
supervising them, yes. And so the key being, it seems to me, as I try to read between the lines in the statute, that that there is a direct supervision by someone who has at least the scope of practice of the dispensing physician supervising to make sure that the dispensing physician is doing everything they need to do. And if they are supervised, then subsection 2 exempts them from the need for licensure. The interesting part about that is that if you have an optometrist in the location, that means that anyone that is practicing under the direct supervision of the optometrist or the physician is exempt. They don't have to have a license. And as a result, if you have an optometrist who directly supervises everyone in the location, then nobody has to have a dispensing optician license. that creates an interesting little dilemma, of course, although it isn't so much of a dilemma because, again, the point being, as long as we have a person who has the scope of practice supervising, then the people of Arizona are protected. And they are, and clinically, we're getting clinical supervision over the people that are doing the things that we're trying to supervise. And that's, you know, it kind of gets to that point of what rules people have to follow, and how it is, so I guess let me now jump back to your point. The Clear Vision has no problem at all obeying the rules. We want to obey the rules. They have sent out multiple attempts to try to find a dispensing optician. They found one, didn't work out. They knew it pretty quickly. That person left, and they have tried to hire somebody, and they haven't been able to. The last thing that I would point out also is that we end up with an interesting situation, and quite frankly, I don't know the answer to this question, and a lawyer is never supposed to ask a question that he doesn't know the answer to, but it creates an interesting situation and I went and got my eye exam just a little while ago, and I am certainly not going to name my optometrist, but there's a shop in there, and I'm pretty sure that person does not have a license as a dispensing optician's office. It's just an optometrist's office who happens to
independent optometry dispensary.
Yeah. And it may be that all of the optometrist offices in Arizona have licenses, but I don't think they do. And so the question that I keep coming back to is does the board also exercise jurisdiction over all of the independent optometry offices?
Getting back to you referring to 1691, mm-hmm. That is exemptions of persons and sales, not establishment.
True. Yes. Yeah. I agree.
That's a big difference in definition.
Yeah. And all I was saying there is that if you've exempted everybody in the office, if no one in the office has to have a license because they're supervised by an optometrist, for instance,
our establishment license is for a facility that conducts retail sales here. If it's an independent doctor's office, that's not considered an establishment if it's not multiple locations, etc. The exemptions of persons and sales has nothing to do with exemptions of an establishment. The establishment is required according to definition. Optical establishment is, as the definition says, physical location in which lenses are dispensed and intended wear on written prescription, licensed to pursuant to chapters 13 and 17, the other licensing things. So we're kind of looking at two different entities. You're looking at the exemptions for persons and sales and trying to apply it to the establishment.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's where one of the differences is, and don't get me wrong, most locations that have dispensing opticians that are licensed, the majority of them, also have doctors that work there. They usually are employed or subcontracted, and usually are involved in the optometry part of the practice, mm-hmm. and not usually involved in the dispensing part.
Mm-hmm.
So their time to be able to directly supervise the dispensing part would be physically impossible when they're in the lane doing an exam or whatever else had to be done. So we want to get things resolved so everyone's happy.
And Mr. Chairman, I have a follow-up question, if I could, for Clear Vision Express. Going to the definitions, one of the things that our statute represents is that there needs to be a dispensing optician on a full-time basis, and I understand your position is that the exemption basically says that person that's it isn't required to have a license. So are you saying that there is an optometrist that is there on a full-time basis that's serving the oversight role, or is there an optometrist there on a full-time basis?
Both. There is an optometrist at the location on a full-time basis and serves that role, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
And just for clarification, Mr. Chair, the board does have a definition for direct supervision in the statutes under 32.1671, number 2. The definition of direct supervision means the provision of direction and control through inspection and evaluation of work by consultation or instruction as needed, provided that at least one licensed dispensing optician works at each optical establishment on a full-time basis.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I do have one follow-up question to that, if I could. Looking at the exemptions, when we're talking about people, not establishments, under 1691, Section 2, that talks about not claiming to be a dispensing optician. So it feels like there, on one hand, you're saying that the optometrist is, or someone on the staff is, fulfilling the need of a dispensing optician as required for an establishment license, but on the other hand, you're saying that's not really a dispensing optician because there's an optometrist there. So is that the person that's filling that role for the establishment requirement? And does that not mean that they need to
claim to be a dispensing physician or a dispensing optician? Yeah. The optician is doing the supervision, but they are not claiming to be a dispensing optician. Yeah, and again, I think the point that I'm making is that by being there and doing the supervision, they are providing the clinical oversight that is required under the statute. That's the point that I'm trying to make. The way I look at this kind of is, I think that there are places that are, if an optometrist has an office and doesn't have an optical shop, then aren't required to do anything under the statute. On the other hand, you've got places like unspecifically named large organizations that have optometrists in one place, and then they send you to an optical shop that is just outside, right near the tires, those clearly, as you were pointing out, the optometrist is not provided. As a matter of fact, they operate them as two different entities. At least I have to write out a check to both entities when I get glasses and things like that. Clearly, there is a need to have supervision in that sort of situation where the optometrist doesn't have a supervisory role. That's what this was designed for, is because that is an optical establishment that needs clinical supervision. The thing that I'm trying to figure out is this area in the middle where optometrists, for instance, are doing optometrist kind of stuff, and they open up a little place where somebody can buy glasses as they're leaving the office. That seems to be supervised by the Board of Optometry. I'm not sure that this particular board exercises jurisdiction over all of the optical shops and all of the optometry offices in the state. Maybe you do. I don't know. I've looked up a bunch of them online, and I can't find any of them with dispensing optician licenses. And that is what Clear Vision is in this middle spot. It's not the big box retailer. It's
the same as any of the other chain locations that we have all over the state that have independent doctors of optometry available, and they have the optical. And we have 376 of them as licensed establishments.
But do you also...
Except we're not a chain. We are a two-practice optometry practice with an optical who has a full-time optometrist who's consulted on a daily basis by the sales associates and supervises the sales associates directly.
Mr. Chairman, I am respectful of the board members' time and also the time of those that are representing Clear Vision today, but I just want one more piece of clarity if I can. It sounds like when these establishments were originally opened, Clear Vision saw either a requirement, necessity, or benefit in obtaining establishment licenses and having a licensed dispensing optician at each location. And it sounds like there's even still a pursuit of trying to find a licensed dispensing optician at the location that we're discussing today. So I'm curious if there is a change of opinion from ownership or management of Clear Vision that it's not a requirement anymore, but you feel it's a good practice. Or if you just feel that if you can do it, it's great, but since there's no requirement, we'll go your direction.
Essentially, this came about because they lost their optometrist and then asked a number of their dispensing optician, asked a bunch of optometrists in the area, and none of them had a dispensing optician's or an establishment license. And so that got them thinking, why is it that Dr. Ruth Smith, I don't know if there's a Ruth Smith, that's a hypothetical, just say, why does Dr. Ruth Smith not have to have an optician, a license as a dispensing optician establishment, but we do? And that's what got them thinking. So that may think, oh, I guess we don't. Therefore, they had the correspondence with the optometry board where the optometry board said, no, you don't need to have a license. And then we're here. So,
thank you very much. I appreciate all the time, and I apologize for the repeated questions. I just wanted to get some clarity
I appreciate the board's time, and I'm sorry. I know you move through your agenda much more quickly when I'm not here, so I will.
What are we going to do with the motion?
It's pretty clear. I mean, do we have to change the wording?
No.
We have to just vote it down if we're going to.
The wording is there.
Well, at present, before the board is a motion that was seconded to forward the matter to a hearing to determine whether there's been a violation of board statutes and rules. So the board would need to vote one way or another on that motion before making any other motions.
Right. So let's have a vote. All in favor of moving forward with the violation?
Aye.
Say aye. All those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Nay. So that motion is denied. Now I would like to entertain another motion to move to a discussion of consent agreement between our Assistant Attorney General and Megan, and see if we can come to an adjudicated win-win situation.
If I may, Mr. Chair, it may be helpful if the motion contains terms the board feels are appropriate, because ultimately any consent agreement would have to be accepted by the board, and we would not have any way of knowing what terms would be acceptable. But if the board would like to propose some consent agreement terms, then...
I think what we've established in the past with some of the other violators that we've dealt with, the fine is the $250. That's the standard fee for the violation. And what we have done in the consent agreement is given a reasonable time for the company to resolve the situation. And I believe in the past we've used 60 days.
30 days?
30 days. Allow them time to search and hopefully resolve the situation and be back in compliance. And that's, I know, what we've done in first-time cases as a precedent for this board. And that would be kind of the words I would be looking for in a proposal for getting together to clear vision to do a consent agreement.
Give it a try. This is Suzanne Coleman. I would like to make a motion that we work with clear vision in a consent agreement to resolve the outstanding violation, a first-time offense fine of $250 and 30 days in which time for them to find a new licensed optician for their establishment.
Sherry Mazel, second that motion.
Any discussion?
Actually, I do have a piece if I could. Just want to remind my colleagues here on the board, we do, if I'm correct, have a renewal licensing date coming up in less than 30 days, where that in order to for us to approve a license under our current statutes as we interpretate them, I think we would need to see that there is a licensed dispensing optician at the location. So while I want to give as much time as I can for consideration and respect to clear vision, postponing the timeline to 30 days would actually create an additional problem for them in not being able to get an establishment license and might compound the problem of no establishment license as a violation, also no dispensing optician as a violation, and I wouldn't want to set up a situation in any agreement that we might reach that actually just compounds this issue.
Excuse me, sir. That is for our first location in Marana, which currently does have a licensed optician. That is not the Oro Valley office.
So the Oro Valley office is not needing a renewal in June?
Yes, they do.
Correct. It doesn't need a renewal until December.
Optical establishment licenses are all June 30th?
Yes.
Dispensing optician licenses are December 31st.
Okay, my mistake.
Okay. Yeah, the establishment license, it's always been mid-year for the establishment and then the end of the year for the dispensing opticians. So, yes, that would possibly create a situation that I think we would have to allow for in the consent agreement, because I'm like you, Michael, if we can get an agreement, we don't want a double jeopardy situation. We don't want to get involved in that. And I don't know how we would do that. Because
Mr. Chairman, could I ask counsel a quick question? Can I reword the motion that's currently on the floor?
If you would like to, you can amend the motion if the second amends the second.
Okay. I'd like to amend the motion that's currently on the floor that the licensed optician be found by no later than June the 30th. Do I hear a second?
I will second the amendment.
Okay.
You have to vote on the second.
Okay. Now are we ready to vote? Okay. Then we're going to vote on the current motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 That will pass. Clear vision, hopefully you can, we'll work with you as hard as we can on this, or possibly, I guess you could renew the establishment license.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask a question of counsel?
Because it's e-licensing is taking it out of our hands. It's all done in computer. Yeah.
But you can't renew without a license.
Right.
Mr. Donald, if I could, a question for you, sir. Just to be sure that we've followed appropriate voting procedures, since we had a motion and then an amendment to the motion, when we had that vote for the vote that we cast, is that for the amendment or the new motion?
That's for the amended motion, so that is for the new motion.
All right, thank you. Another question, sir.
Okay, so I would like to ask Megan and Scott if you would get with Clear Vision, set up a time to have a dialogue with them, and then we can move forward.
Certainly,
the way we have to go.
Yeah, and quite frankly, it wouldn't take very long to draft a consent agreement with the terms the board has specified. So, if Clear Vision were going to enter into it would be able to get it certainly done within the time frame.
There's one bottleneck, and that's somewhat out of our control, but we will.
Okay.
Right. I thank the board for
we thank you for your insight, and it got us to look a little deeper into our rules, too, so it's all good exercise for us. Thank you. Okay, move on to 5B, complaint against Nationwide Vision. Secretary has dutifully recused. Reading Jim, did everybody get a copy of Jim's? Schutz? Yes. The glasses that we were able to look at met all standards of optical standards. Those were the only ones that we were able to examine as a board. And the other part about the issue of the license applications is the references that you brought up were not our guidelines. Those were the ABO and NCLE standards. And we aren't guided by those as far as behavior. Looking around, again, these and the darker areas around the edges, it's standard with a polarized lens that you'll get that. That's so you'll even look at some car windshields, and you'll be able to see the striations in the car windshield, and that's the polarization blocking certain path of light. Base curve charts no longer used in tool selection, as lenses are now cut by computer technology, so they don't use base curve charts. That, again, and going back to some of the things you brought up. So basically, from the findings of what we could actually look at, we don't see anything in violation of any of our rules, violation from the optician or employees, based on what we can examine. And so I would entertain a motion to dismiss the complaint against Nationwide. You have opportunity to respond. Jim, did you give a copy of your findings to Ms. Stutz? You can have this, the copies. He did a very thorough job of investigating these. He did it with two different instruments. He did it with a optical laboratory that's one of the best in the valley. And the lab manager is one of the ones that also did an inspection of these glasses, and everything fell within standard.
Well, I'm confused because every place I took them to be checked, I was frustrated that when I experienced the problem, they wouldn't recheck them. They wouldn't do anything. And then
not anything that our board gets involved in. It's
not in our jurisdiction.
It's not in our jurisdiction. We go by the rules and regs of the board. And behavior, I understand your frustration, and I'm sure, I understand you did get the glasses all returned, correct?
I'm sorry?
You did get your money back. You returned the glasses?
The previous ones, yes. Right. I put them back for a remake. Those are still in limbo. They told me they were going to remake them, and I never heard from them again.
Well, with the information we have, there's nothing on this pair of glasses that is out of tolerance.
Well, it's interesting to me because I took them several places, and everybody measured them, including my eye doctor, that the pupil distance was wrong, the OC doesn't match where my pupils are, nothing. So
got three different tests here from an optical laboratory. You're welcome to have the numbers if you want. PDs are 61 right on. All three investigations, all three lensometers. Different lensometers, actually. Auto lensometer and a manual. So I know Jim. He's a licensed optician, and I trust he's our investigator. I trust anything he found, and he's got them pretty well. Again, none of the others, the bifocals and those, he wasn't able to do anything with. And an answer to your thing about the PD, based on your prescription, 1 millimeter won't make a bit of difference in optics. On the horizontal line, there's not enough power in your lenses to make a difference. Cannot create any prism. And if it was only off, I think all yours said they were 62 instead of 61 or 60 instead of 61.
The original, the first two pairs they made at 62.
Yeah, well, we can't look at those because we don't have.
I understand that, yeah. But.
So all we can do is deal with the pair we do have. And we can find nothing in violation here of any of our statutes, rules, and regulations. As far as the individual, the company, I would not go back to that company.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's obviously your choice. That's, you can go wherever you want. Hopefully you've got someplace where you, I think I read in one of your notes that you did get some glasses somewhere that you were happy with. Computer glasses or something. I can't remember what it said.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, anyway. But you said you did go someplace and you were satisfied. So obviously that's what we're hoping would happen, just for your sake. But we have nothing here that we can address from a violation standpoint.
No, I can't argue with that. It's frustrating. I wish, so for my future knowledge, if I run into a problem like that and where they even verify after me questioning multiple times that it is way outside of spec, like that one time it was 5 degrees off, am I supposed to come to you then to hold them accountable, or am I supposed to say, okay, let's remake them in good faith, hoping that they will get it right when they continually did not?
You have to do what you would want to do. Bring them to us unless there's a complaint that you're going to, again, we investigate complaints. We don't necessarily investigate eyewear unless there is a complaint, and then we do have Jim do an investigation. I can't tell you what you should do. We're here to deal with our licensees and our establishment licenses and deal with it in ways that are in our rules and regs. Doesn't cover anything about behavior, doesn't cover anything about professionalism. You know, I mean, we got certain guidelines in certain areas, but business practices vary from location to location, varies within chain from location to location based on who the manager is or who happens to be on that day. And I can't give you an answer to your question because there really isn't one. You just have to deal with everything as it occurs. And like I say, I'm more than happy to share with you, if you would like, a copy of what Jim's findings are, as well as obviously these are your glasses.
Mr. Chairman, can I speak with Mrs. Schutz for just a minute? I would just say that when you do purchase a pair of glasses, if you do find that they are, from someone checking them, that they are off, you know, out of tolerance, you're certainly welcome to bring them back here. You know, we would encourage you to do that. As long as it is a licensed optician that is helping you, then it would fall under our jurisdiction. So, but yeah, we would want you to do that because we certainly want to make sure that our opticians are dispensing products correctly.
Okay. Live and learn, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes. Hopefully you've got glasses that you can use now, and again, according to the prescription and everything we've got, those should be quite functional. They polarized because they're optically fine.
I'm just trying to figure out why there's all the swimminess and all the other problems if they are correct. I'm just trying to figure out
without seeing the other pair. This pair, you probably shouldn't have that unless it again is the peripheral, right at the edges, because that's where you usually will see it.
If anything moves or if I move my head at all, it's like, you know, grab onto something.
Polaroids?
Yes.
No, Well, I would probably take those back.
They said they were going to remake them, and that was the last I heard, February 26th. They have refused every phone call I've ever made to them trying to resolve this. They will not call me. They won't call me back. They won't answer the phone. So I'm kind of stuck because there's a problem. They don't want to fix it. They don't want to deal with me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
I have had people that, in my years of dispensing that could not wear Polarize because of the fact that it is different.
I've been wearing Polarize for well over a decade.
I'm not sure.
It's not a problem. These are wrapped. She told me I couldn't get wrapped because my prescription was too high.
Well, wrapping would make a big difference, too.
But, you know, I've been wearing wrap. These are from spring of 04. No distortion, no problems at all. So I don't know.
There are different materials that could also cause you issues.
Polycarbonate.
All CR39, supposed to be matched base curve.
There are also different manufacturing processes that could give you less distortion.
So what should I be asking for less distortion when I go shopping?
Have them match what you currently have, if it's not a problem.
Okay. And they'll be able to tell exactly, because I don't know how you would tell who the manufacturer is from a long time ago.
Not the manufacturer so much as the process that's used as well as the materials.
Because some of the wrap processes do a change in. That's where even checking prescription, if you get a wrap pair of sunglasses, the prescription has to be changed in order to get the peripheral to not be distorted. So you actually don't get what was written on the doctor's prescription. They give you an adjusted prescription to curve to allow for the curvature.
Okay.
And there are companies that do that.
And where you go, you can always refer them to where you had the pair that you were satisfied with made.
Right.
And they can call and find out exactly what they did.
As long ago as that was, that's probably not going to happen.
This 14 was years ago, they wouldn't, they wouldn't have a record.
Good optician. 14
years ago.
Stick with them.
Not required to keep quite that long. Again, sorry for your inconvenience, which there was something. But again, we have nothing we can action on of what you were able to provide us.
Right.
Sorry?
You know, if we had all the problems with the older glasses, we could have if that was not verifiable to be true, you know, correct, that's something we can do. With that prescription, with what the doctor has written, it is correct.
Yeah.
But there are other parameters that are affecting you, and we can't.
Yeah, I just wish I had brought the other ones. It took forever to just try to figure out, it's like, what is the process? What do I do when I have a problem? Now I'm learning. Hopefully the next time there won't be a problem.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be dealing with a company that won't be a problem. But, again, it can vary just from day. As you found out, different people, different days, same location.
Yeah.
Different answers. That's the nature of the beast. And that we'd like to keep everybody 100% on board and right there, but it's an ongoing struggle. And that's why if you find someone that you're satisfied with what you're getting from them, that's usually your best decision on going forward. But referring back to what you've had in the past, many things have changed. Materials have changed. Processing has changed. The base curve chart that you had in your, that was from 1974. I remember it. And I said, I hadn't seen these one in a long time. And it doesn't work with all the new materials around. There's a lot of technology, a lot of improvement in hopefully, to solve some of this, some of the new material might even solve some of that issues, some of the new things that are being done now. But where to go? You have to find a place you are happy with, I think. Okay, can I get a motion?
I'm curious if the company won't even call me back. There was a problem. So they said they were going to remake them, but if they won't call me to remake them, then so I'm out the money, I'm out the glasses, I'm just stuck because they said they were going to do something and then ignored me for months now?
Wouldn't that be the Better Business Bureau?
Mr. Chair, there also would be recourse to civil remedies as well, small claims court or other. Okay. Jurisdictions.
It's just a small claims court. That would be the other thing. Again, They won't call you back? I think I read in your things that you don't answer the phone after a certain time because of telemarketers. Was that in some of your notes?
I don't know if that was in there. Usually I tell people
remember.
No calls before a certain hour in the morning
maybe
because we're asleep.
Right. That's normal business hours is when most people would call.
But, they don't call.
Yeah.
I've got caller ID. I've got voicemail. If they had called or tried to call, I would know. And I have called them, I don't know how many times. I have your list somewhere. I didn't bring it with me.
Yeah.
But every time I've called, every message I have left, and nothing since February 26th. So it makes it really hard to resolve an issue if they won't even talk to you.
Right.
It's true.
So, and if that's your licensed opticians, that doesn't make your profession look very good if they're not willing to try to, you know, communicate with somebody. But I realize you can't control them.
Yep.
Can't spank them or whatever. So.
can't send them to timeout.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion at this time to dismiss Debbie Shute's complaints based on a lack of actionable violations on the eyewear she had made at JCPenney Nationwide Vision.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Point is dismissed.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you for coming in. Rule changes overview, contact lens selling overview.
Yes, dock opening notice of rulemaking was published in Arizona Administrative Register in May 2019, volume 25, issue 18.
Okay.
Also, in addition, further clarification of amending rule R220-120A was filed with the governor's office and waiting for them.
Good. Okay, let's move on to our application for licensures. One, a application for a reinstatement for Gwen May.
Okay. I would like to make a motion at this time that we accept the application for licensed optician reinstatement for Gwen A. May, licensed dispensing optician number 2319.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the application for reinstatement for Gwen May. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Application approved. Let's go on to 6B.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the application for licensed establishment for National Vision Incorporated, doing business as Eyeglass World, number 8349 in Gilbert.
I will second that.
Been moved and seconded to approve the application for licensed establishment for National Vision Incorporated. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Application approved. Now the fun one.
I would like to make a motion that we accept the applications for licensed optician from the following 13 applicants: Alexandra Nicole Marquez, Bhavna Patadia, David H. Lee, Don Berner, Jamie Inda, Jerry Joe Fay, Lucinda Michelle Brewer Tarango, Kayla Dunning, Kelly Michelle Peters, Melanie Shanae Spearman, Nicole Marie McBride, Raquel Villanueva, and Sarah LaCroix.
I will second that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve these 13 for licensure. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Congratulations to the 13 new licenses.
Woo-hoo.
Woo-hoo. Future meeting dates, I guess August 7th is our next one, because we don't have a July meeting. How's that affect our consent? It's an agreement. Just going to have to work on it. Maybe have to do the teleconference or something if we need to. If we, if you guys get anything, maybe we can.
Absolutely. If a consent is reached, we would certainly be able to line up a telephonic 10-minute meeting if necessary.
Okay, so future agenda items. Obviously, we're going to get another one on Clear Vision Express. Will be future agenda, the consent agreement.
Contact lens also.
Keep going with contact lens overview and rule changes overview. Those keep going. Call the public. Hi, public. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. 11:50, this meeting is adjourned.